Welcome to Benign Chaos, where anything seemingly goes, but there might just be some meaning to it all. I'm half the voice of this journey. My name is Shelry.
And I'm the other half. My name is Angel. Ow, shit. Burn myself. Okay, go ahead. You lead us in.
Okay. Hey, welcome back. And we're here to talk probably another rambling podcast about movies. This seems to be one of our favorite topics, media.
Yes.
And we were just, right before we turned on, we were just discussing The Last Airbender, which we both saw and we both liked, and which apparently not too many people agree with us, but
that's because sad.
They just don't get it.
No, it's very, I mean, to me, because it wasn't just a good movie. It was a great movie. I really, really enjoyed it.
I liked it too. It was fun.
Yeah. And then you go and you find out you're one of the 8% of the population that liked it. And at first it's kind of funny. You're like, okay, not many people like Sharkboy and Lava Girl. Okay, that's fine. And not many people liked Josie and the Pussycats. Not many people like Speed Racer. But after a while, you're like, dang, is it me? What? Why does no one like this?
Yes. I actually sit around and think about that. And I've come up with ideas, but.
Well, Matt said, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say real quick, Matt said, well, don't worry about being part of the mainstream. And I said, well, it's not that I worry about being part of the mainstream, because that doesn't bother me. But then the movies that I want to see don't get funded. I'm really worried, because this is just book one. I'm worried about two things. I'm worried about the next two books not getting made for The Last Airbender.
Yes.
And the second thing, I'm worried about M. Night Shyamalan getting really... I don't know how to say his name, so that's how we say his name. I'm worried about him to start second guessing himself, or the studio giving the movies to another director.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I loved what he did.
Yeah.
So
I liked it too. So I don't know.
It's not that I mind going against the norm. It's that my stuff doesn't get funded.
Right.
So what were your theories about us?
I think I've said them before about people being cynical and not liking the uplifting things and not liking sweet things. And a lot of people don't like sentimental things. And I like all of that.
Okay, I'm on Rotten Tomatoes. Now, the critics gave it 8, where 8% of the critics liked it. However, if you go to the Rotten Tomatoes community, 50% of the community, that's just the people
logged in.
Yay!
Yeah, yay! Well, I don't usually agree with critics, I don't think, either. So, like the mainstream critics, I usually look up stuff and most of them don't agree with me, so.
Well, I can't remember if it was you that said it or if it was Matt that said it. It might have been you in a previous podcast that said, the critics have seen so much that anything that's out of the ordinary, what would be inaccessible to most of us because it's just too weird, but to the critics, like, oh, finally, something different. And they, you know.
I think that's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, I was getting so tired of all that old stuff being done over and over again. Yeah,
so I really enjoyed The Last Airbender, and I was telling Shelry before she went to see it, I just come home and I was so excited about it, and it was awesome, and I'm an Avatar cartoon fan too, and my sister is as well, and she was a little disappointed in some things. For example, General Zhao is much more complex and interesting in the, not General, I think his name's Commander Zhao, much more complex and interesting in the cartoon.
Which one was he?
He was just kind of the sniveling little underling that killed the moon spirit.
Yeah, I thought he was kind of a conniving guy that, yeah.
Well, in the cartoon, I wish they would explain this more, because maybe they will. But the firebenders, you can't let the fire get out of control. So they're a very disciplined race.
Right.
And General Zhao is not disciplined, and he's constantly he's out of control. His personality is out of control. His fire, when he's bending his fire, it's out of control. And it's actually, Aang learned something about firebenders by watching him, that you have to be disciplined when you're bending fire.
Well, it seems like the whole nation's out of control.
Yes, that's true, actually, yeah.
So there's no balance for the firebenders, so therefore the leaders aren't going to be balanced either. Because the father seemed way out of balance.
Yeah.
Like way out there.
But, yeah. So
what about the prince? Did he seem reasonably accurate to what he was in the cartoon?
Which one's the prince? Which?
The one that was initially chasing the airbender, trying to get his father's approval.
Zuko. Now, Zuko, a lot of fans, including myself and my sister, when we first saw Zuko, were upset because he does not look like the Zuko. You know, you Aang looks like the Aang in the cartoon.
Uh-huh.
Zuko doesn't.
Okay.
Because he doesn't pull his hair down like that until when he leaves. I'm giving spoilers here. Do you want the spoilers?
Yeah, put the spoilers
in. Well, who knows if the other ones are going to get made. But, Zuko and he's still part of the Fire Nation, so he has the hairdo of the Fire Nation, which is it's all shaved except a little bit that's up in a ponytail at the top.
Uh-huh.
And then when he leaves the Fire Nation, he decides no longer to be a part of his father's army or whatever. He lets his hair down, and that's when he has normal hair.
Okay.
And also Zuko in general doesn't, just his features and stuff, he doesn't look like Zuko in the cartoon's much younger. He's a kid too.
So does Zuko act like the Zuko in the cartoon though?
Well, that's just it. You come to like this Zuko because he's such an awesome Zuko. It's kind of like in Sense and Sensibility when you first see, I can't remember, but the older sister. Well, she's way too old. The one that Emma Thompson plays.
Uh-huh.
And you first see it like, they should have got a different actress because
right.
In the book, she's like 25 or something. You know, at that age, you're already an old maid at that time. And then you watch Emma Thompson playing, you're like, oh, it's okay. She's so awesome.
Yeah, she's so good. And what about the uncle?
Oh, don't you just love him?
I do love him. He's probably the most balanced person of all that group.
Yeah, the uncle, once again, he looked very different from the uncle in the cartoon. But he does a good job of playing the uncle. I can't speak for all the fans because I thoroughly enjoyed it. I give it an A++++++++. Whereas my sister gave it a B-, and we're both fans. She was really upset about the Commander Zhao character.
Mm-hmm.
She was upset that a lot of the humor of Aang was stripped out. That he was just sad the whole movie.
You know, I didn't get that he was as sad as I was expecting after we talked.
Oh, okay.
Because he still had like some childlike qualities.
He's very silly in the series. Very silly. In fact, that's one of the things about the series is here you have this kid, this little kid, and he's a silly, irresponsible kid. Not totally irresponsible, but you know, he's a kid and he does silly things and he's supposed to save everybody.
Right.
And they stripped out, that also annoyed my sister. Is that they stripped out a lot of Aang's silliness.
Right. Okay.
But she still gave it a B- as a fan of the show.
Okay. All right. Well, there we go. And not being a fan at all, I have seen a few episodes here and there, but not being a fan of the show, I liked it.
Yeah, my husband and her husband, they're so funny. Me and Carla we'd just gone to see it, and we're like, well, what about this? And what about this? Well, I like this, but I like this, but I didn't like this. Uh-huh. Well, that was all right. And her husband was in the back seat when we were taking him home. And so we're dropping him off. Me and Carla, we're just talking in the front seat about this. He said, okay, I'm leaving now so y'all can continue your nerd talk.
Well, what did they think of the movie?
They both liked it. They both liked it. And when you look at the reviews, the reviews that slam it, they slam it on two main things. And I understand why these are slammed. Three, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
One is the wooden acting, which you were just commenting on before we started recording. Yeah. And the second is, and this is what you said about the wooden acting, was the script. And they didn't like the script because, what you were saying about the wooden acting, that it was unnatural to say these things. And that's why it didn't sound, you know, it sounded kind of strange when people would say these.
And I'm sure a lot of people would disagree with me. But in our world and in my lifetime, it's not natural to say the lines that they say in Shakespeare either.
That's true. Yeah.
And we just are used to Shakespeare, so we accept those lines and then base the acting on that. But those lines are not natural. What they say in there is totally
right.
So completely removed from our world that – you know, you could look at that and say, well, that's just unnatural. Well, nobody would say that.
Right.
So.
And the third thing that they were complaining about, and these are all true, I agree with these. The third thing they were complaining about was that the story was forced along, that it was rapid and it was it didn't flow very well. And like if you take the what's that, the love story at the end that's just kind of thrown in the last 30 minutes.
Yes.
I say it's thrown in. It was a major part of the series. I mean, you couldn't skip it. They already pulled stuff out. Her dad wasn't there. Her dad was in this and had one of my favorite lines in the show, but he was gone, so he couldn't say it.
Yeah.
And there was a love triangle. Sokka and the princess, whose name I can't remember, is like Yue or something like that. And then there was another boy that she was supposed to marry, but they took that out to simplify the story. They only have so much time.
Right.
But they left the love story in there, but it was, you know,
yeah.
It was like, okay, and then my brother and the princess spent some time together and they fell in love.
Yeah. It's like, okay. Well, does Aang and that girl fall in love eventually?
I've only seen through half of the second book. My sister, she said no. Wait, no. I don't believe they do. I don't know. I asked her about Zuko, and I thought it'd be cool if Zuko and Katara got together. I said, "Do Zuko and Katara get together?" And my sister said, "No, Zuko ends up with one of the sister's crazy friends," which is really sad because the sister's insane and mean and cruel.
Wait, and whose sister? Oh, his sister.
Yes, and her crazy friends are insane and mean and cruel. And Zuko ends up with one of the sister's friends.
Does the sister's friends become better person?
I don't know. We don't like them. We'd rather Zuko ended up with Katara.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but the father made the sister and brother the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
He was really bad person.
Yeah. So, but we were talking about this before, as far as the forced story and the wooden acting and the script being hard, like you said, the hard to act. I still saw it as an incredible moving character piece, mm-hmm. mainly between Aang and Zuko, because they really did sideline in Katara and Sokka. And I warned my sister about that because I saw it first. I said, just so you know, Katara and Sokka don't even really have a role. They mm-hmm. kind of are the narrators.
Right.
But I love it as a character piece on Aang and Zuko. Aang is someone that doesn't want to, he has this incredible responsibility he doesn't want. And at first he denies it. And by the end, even at the end, he still doesn't want to be the airbender.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he doesn't want to be the avatar, and he still accepts the responsibility because he has to.
Right.
So, and then of course Zuko is this tortured soul trying to get his father's approval.
Yeah. He wants a responsibility he's not allowed to have.
Right. He just, yeah. And so I really liked it. In fact, I loved it. I cried for the last 15 minutes of the movie. And then mm-hmm. when everybody says, we want you to be our avatar, and everyone's bowing, and he was crying.
Even the firebenders were bowing.
Yes. It was so good. Don't change it, M. Night Shyamalan. You listen to our tiny podcast. It was awesome. It was wonderful. We did.
Well, let me ask you. So the Fire Nation, does it ever change during the story?
I think so, but I don't know because I haven't seen the three there's three series of the cartoon, and it's him learning the different
bendings.
Yes, exactly. And the first one's water, the second one's earth, and the third one's fire. Well, I'm only halfway through earth.
So doesn't it mean that there has to be more airbenders that come to balance everybody else out?
I don't know. It'd be nice if somehow the Airbending Nation was reborn. I don't know how
it seems. You couldn't just not ever have another Airbender, because when he dies,
right,
what happens? I mean, there's no more Airbending.
Right. It also breaks the cycle of the Avatar, because the Avatar is reborn in each nation through the cycle.
Yeah. So
I don't know. And also another thing that annoyed the piss out of Carla was the whole the Avatar not being able to have a family. And we also now, this I didn't like either. He talks to Roku a lot, which is his last incarnation in the spirit world.
Okay.
Avatar Roku was the last incarnation right before him in the Fire Nation. And Roku guides him a lot whenever he goes into the spirit world. And they totally stripped out Roku. And I know that they had to strip out a lot. I understand that, but I would have left Roku instead of a dragon, you know, if you're going to
Yes.
pick somebody to guide him. And Roku had a wife.
Maybe that's why they got rid of him.
Yeah, I don't. And in the and in that one, that he did run away when they said you have to be the avatar, or you are the avatar. And he wasn't because he was told he couldn't have a family. It's because he was the kids. Other kids wouldn't play with him, and all of a sudden, you know, he had a lot more. He just wasn't like the other kids, and so he ran away. So Carla was very annoyed, extremely annoyed, and I was a little annoyed with the whole Avatar can't have a family thing.
Were you the first one in your family who liked anime and
No, I wasn't the first one that was into Avatar, actually. It was my Uncle Bruce.
Well, I mean, I remember you were into this when we were young, into the whole anime
Right.
stuff. Were there other people in your family before you that
No,
got
there.
you into it?
Okay, you and I just we were just talking about cons taken because I just took my daughter to an anime convention, and you said you took your stepson to a Star Trek
No,
convention?
sci-fi
Sci-fi.
fantasy type.
And the anime conventions and the anime stuff is fun. It's a lot of fun. And so I don't know if it's the same in your family, but my family they kind of go along for the ride because it's enjoyable, but they're not into it as much, except for a few of my cousins. And then and that's who I went to the convention with, was Kelsey, because she's really into anime. And then her our the other cousins went too, but they kind of go for the ride.
Wait, I thought both Kelsey and her sister were into it, but they're not.
No, Lindsay is, she will tell you emphatically that she is not an anime person. She likes a few anime, but she is not an anime fan. And
Gotcha.
I think it's because Kelsey is an anime fan and she's been around it enough. She sees the hardcore fans and they've frightened her. Because they are so, you know, extreme and bizarre.
We had that whole fan discussion
Yeah.
before, and it's true that I wouldn't call myself a fan either.
And the thing that's interesting, because now she because Kelsey and I both learned Japanese because we really enjoy anime, and Lindsay just kind of watched it like my sister. But then the girl watched, she watched some J drama, which is the Japanese drama that you can get on the internet, and she was hooked. And now she knows Japanese better than any of us. She watches her J drama without subtitles and understands it. She's studying Japanese. She plans to go to her graduate school in Japan. She's in the Japanese house at her college, and she listens to J-pop. Her favorite band is
What's J
Arashi.
drama?
J is Japanese. It's Japanese dramas. It's live action shows. It's not cartoons. And she is so into it. And J-pop, the Japanese pop music. Her favorite band is Arashi, and she's got some other bands she likes as well. But if you look at her iPod, it's all Arashi and some other J-pop, and she has Arashi. She gets it off eBay and stuff. She has the Arashi calendars and so I think it's interesting. She still ended up, and she knows Japanese way better than me or Kelsey. Her Japanese is really good. At this point, all I know is some phrases that you'll never use, you know, in real Japan.
Stop and give me your milk. Where can I find the bubblegum store?
Well, no, since it's anime, it's stuff like, "Die, you scum!"
The only phrase I remember from Norwegian is, I am a farmer. And when I always laugh at that line and be dazzled when he can speak Spanish and he starts going, "Oh, I can speak Spanish. Where's the library? Hello."
I'm allergic to shrimp.
That was a great, that was another great movie.
Bedazzled, yeah. Well, I've been dominating this podcast so far, and we are what? How far are we into it? My goodness, we're like 40 minutes into it. It's just been me talking. Oh
No,
no no
no.
no 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 no! That's just yeah. You and I chatted for a long time
Yeah.
before we started. Okay, yeah, because we're talking about The Last Airbender, which I'm very passionate about.
Was a great show. It's a
Yeah,
great show.
I really, really, really liked it. And I
And I got
thought,
to see it in 3D.
See, I've yet to do that. We haven't. Matt and I are still. We're like old people when it comes to, I'm not getting a cell phone, I don't want people to be able to call me wherever I am. I don't want to talk to people at the grocery store. That's what I feel like Matt and I are with 3D. I'm not that 3D. What? No, I don't need to watch in 3D. So we have yet to watch anything in 3D.
Well, I have to say, I've been that way with phones. I'm just gonna get a new phone, but mine's like the little this type that opens, and it's
Oh, is
just
she's showing me a flip phone.
yes, and it's just
The
very
flip phone.
basic phone.
Yeah,
Yeah,
circa 2002.
exactly. And I was like, I don't need all that crazy stuff. I don't need all these gadgets. I mean, what am I gonna do with them? You know, I'm on the computer enough and everything. But then we were out with somebody who had, I forgot what his phone was, but it was one of those touch phones.
Right.
And he had this application on there that I was like, oh my God, it was Google Sky. And he wherever he pointed his phone at in the sky would show, it would move around the sky and show you what constellations were there, what you're looking at. And I was like, because I've really been wanting to learn astronomy. And I always have to pay attention. Did I say astrology or astronomy? But I was like, oh, that would be so cool, because then if we ever get a telescope or stuff, you know, I can just look and see what I'm looking at.
Right. Yeah, no, the smartphones are with the apps are really, really, 'cause I was the same way as you. I had the old school phones. I was like, I don't need anything like that. Why I don't check my email on my phone. And I still don't check my email on my phone. So Matt had a smartphone and I had to get a new phone, and 'cause I'm hard of hearing, and so it has to be, I have to have clear sound. It's not that it needs to be loud, it needs to be clear. And my phone wasn't, I was having a hard time understanding people. So, we go and get me a smartphone, and I was like, baby, I really, 'cause they're expensive. I was like, I don't need this. I'm not going to use it. But we went ahead and got a Google phone, and I'm downloading apps and I'm texting people. I'm like, this is awesome. Where have you been all my life? So, yeah.
Well, I haven't got it yet, but I'm getting that new. Oh, the other reason I wanted this phone was because it's the new one from Sprint. It just came out, like this 4G. I don't even know what these G's things mean. You know, like what technology they refer to or anything. But they have it, and there's an app you can download. Unfortunately, it's not Skype, because Skype is exclusive to Verizon. But they have these applications, and they have a forward-looking camera, so you can do video calls.
That's very cool.
And then I'm going to have to push other people into getting that so I can make video calls to them. Like, I see you! And I'm driving.
They'll be going, watch the road, watch the
A friend of Steve's, he had all this crazy stuff, and he had a truck, this big giant truck where you need like a ladder to climb up in it. And he had satellite TV in his truck, and he had a TV that was on the front dashboard, angled so the driver can watch it.
That's very funny.
Obviously, it was for nobody else in the car but the driver to watch TV while he's driving. So, anyways, I thought I'd throw that in. But okay, back to movies.
So anyways, I want to support Last Airbender. That needs to
Yes.
be out there. The
So
Last
people
Airbender.
go watch it.
Yeah, it was awesome. And okay, the acting's wooden, the story is forced along, but it's still a wonderful, wonderful movie. And another thing, we talked about this. I think it was either with, yeah, it was you, with you. I just get so sad when they slam the actors like that. That little kid's like 9 years old. I think this was his first acting job, and I think he did an awesome job because they had to find somebody that could do the jumping around and the kicking and the kung fu and whatever it is. It's actually mainly Tai Chi, but do all that on top of doing his acting and look like Aang. And that's a lot of stuff to. And I thought he did. I actually thought he did a great job.
Yeah, I thought he was great.
So.
You know, maybe the critics need to have a review.
Yeah, I don't. They're so mean.
We should maybe review the critics.
Well, I just don't. I'm sorry.
Go through the movies we like, and their reviews, and how off they are.
Well, no, I would agree with some of it because the acting was a bit. It, you know how sometimes you're into, especially with actresses, like we were just talking about Emma Thompson and I can't remember, but who played the younger sister, and they're such phenomenal actors and actresses. You just forget that you're watching a movie, and you just kind of, you know, whereas with The Last Airbender, you do kind of pop out sometimes. Because the story is forced along and the acting, or in your, you say it's the script, is hard. You know, it doesn't sound right. Where in the heck was I going with this?
I don't know, but I'm following.
I don't know where I'm leading you. We're going over to this wide, I don't know, this field and there's some crickets. Anyways, the critics. So I agree with some of the stuff they said. First of all, but I think they're, first of all, way too mean. They're harsh. I mean, they picked out some adjectives that are just cruel. You know?
I've never seen before.
Yes.
I had to look them up. They're so bad.
You get it. Yeah, it's all hyperbole. You know, like, this is the worst acting I've ever seen ever, 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 ever. You know, and so they use terrible adjectives and they use hyperbole and they're just mean. I feel sorry for the directors and the actors to be, you know, can you imagine me eating a dinner of yours and I didn't like it very much? Instead of going, it's a bit spicy. Going like, oh my God, what in the hell were you thinking? Why did you make this? This is the worst food I have ever had. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Often I don't like critics. I don't like what they have to say. But that's because I think, again, it's just their job and they're bored and tired, you know, like anybody in their job. No matter how much you like the job, after a while, it can be boring and tedious.
It could also be like Rush Limbaugh, using an extreme example. Rush, I think one of the reasons Rush Limbaugh gets so many viewers and makes so much money is because he's entertaining.
That's
and
true.
I think the critic reviews have to, in themselves, are a form of entertainment. And so they have to be entertaining and make people laugh or,
yeah,
you know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And I always liked Siskel and Ebert at the movies.
Mm-hmm.
They were much nicer, but that was a long time ago, too.
Ebert didn't like this one. It's Ebert that's still alive, right? Roger?
I guess. I don't remember.
He didn't like it either.
That's okay. Because what I liked about Roger and Ebert,
Siskel and Ebert.
Siskel and Ebert at the movie is that they would, you know, like often balance each other out.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool.
That is true. One would say I liked it and the other would say I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
So it was rare that they had two thumbs up. Okay, well, let's talk about some other movies.
Okay, I'll let
Josie and the Pussycats. Because you watched that just recently. And I love that movie. I own it.
Yes, I watched two movies recently because of you, actually three. I watched. I watched.
I haven't left the house. Because of you.
Not Warcraft, it's you. What was that one that you and Matt liked so much? Oh, Zombieland.
Yeah, which I really do like, and I have.
I watched that one because of you and Matt, but. Yeah, that one wasn't
not your cup of tea.
Not my cup of tea. Couldn't go to the bathroom by myself for a little while after that.
Yeah.
And then I watched Josie and the Pussycats and Earth Girls Are Easy just recently because I knew those were two of your favorite movies. I was like, oh, I want to watch these again.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah.
So what do you think of Josie?
I think it's underrated. That's what I think.
Yeah.
It's funny. And the message in it is so, they never come outright and say, this is, I mean, they do at points. I mean, the whole thing's about marketing, right?
Yeah.
And selling. But I love the way that the marketing is pervasive through the entire movie.
It is. It's everywhere.
It is. From the very first moment when I can't remember the name of the boy band, but the boy band gets on the plane
Du
and
jour.
There's. Du jour, that's right. Du jour means family.
Before meets friendship.
Dushore gets on the plane, and there's the target, the big, it's all white except for the big red target
Yes.
symbol. And they do that through the whole movie. One of my favorite, because they do the, it's all over, but one of my favorite actually is the Tide box that they have in the in the hotel room, like it's a knickknack or it's like a decoration. And it's this Tide box just sitting there.
And the ditzy girl, when she was in that shower, when she was taking that shower, and she had her washcloth was the French fry thing. It
Oh,
looked
that's
like a
right.
McDonald's French fry.
Right. And I think her, didn't she have the Target sign behind her on the tiles in the bathroom?
It might have been. It's been a while since I've seen it, but yeah, it was everywhere.
It was pervasive. It was through the whole movie, and it was it, every scene there was, well, except when they were just josing the Pussycats before they got picked up. There was product placement.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that my favorite character was the ditzy girl. I loved her so much. She was so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they did a great job of characterizing the characters from the cartoon, 'cause they were a lot like that, especially the Alexander and Alexandria
Right.
and the ditzy girl.
Well, and also I liked it because they were a bit tongue in cheek a whole about that, because they were flying on the plane. They'd just been signed, and they said, "I don't even know why you're here." Talking about Alexandria, and
Yeah.
she said, "Well, I'm in the cartoon. I mean, I'm in the comic book. That's why I'm here." And they go, "What?" And she goes, "Never mind. Don't worry about it."
Was great too.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what we watched last night? Just to throw this out there, because there was the same kind of self-referential material, but Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
I haven't seen that in
I
age.
know, and I was showing Steve because he vaguely remembers it, but it was so funny. And they
It
would go,
is.
and there's that guy from Scene 24.
I found that movies like that, you have to, they work best when you have to be in the mood, and two, you have to be in a group of silly people, and that goes with Buckaroo Banzai as well.
Yeah.
The first time I saw Buckaroo Banzai, I was by myself, and I wasn't in a silly mood, and I was like, I don't get it. Why does everyone love this movie? I don't, it's not funny. It's, then the second time I watched it with Shelley and Carla, two of the silliest people I know. And they're laughing, and they're like, "Oh, so," you know, and then it was a lot of fun. I was like, "Oh, now I get it."
Yeah. Well, Steve was laughing hard and I was laughing hard, so it was fun. Definitely fun, but I had forgotten how witty it was, 'cause
Yeah.
it really is witty. And they like that joke a lot. I'm not quite dead. Yes, he
Yes.
is. They like that a lot.
Well, they would do that in their show, remember? Their, you know, Monty Python, the show.
Flying Circus, right?
Yeah. There would be like the larch. It would be through the entire 30-minute, through all the skits, you know, through the 30-minute thing. They'd come back to the larch or whatever they were doing, you know.
I don't remember the show much. I do. The only skit from the show I remember well is the Confuse a Cat skit, where you could hire a troop to confuse your cat. And I really liked that one because they had the cat sitting there watching it, and the cat was like, huh?
So when Matt and I first started dating, of course I, you know, we can bond over Monty Python. We both are, you know, I really like Monty Python. Anyways, he started laughing when I first said, he said, "Monty Python." I was like, "How do y'all say it?" "Monty Python." I was like, "Oh, okay."
Sweet.
Yeah. There was something I was going to say about Josie and the Pussycats. I forgot what it was though, because we jumped over. Oh, I remember now. Every scene that Parker Posey was in, she
Yes.
stole, didn't she? Wasn't
She
she
was
awesome?
funny. She was funny.
Yes, I think you said your favorite was the ditzy girl. My favorite girl was, I mean, my favorite person was Parker Posey.
Yeah. She was
And her outfits. I loved her
her and the
outfits.
guy together cracked me up when they
Yeah.
both just like when they both finally realized who each other was and they started taking off their their fake stuff. It was disturbing yet funny. White ass Wally? And I forgot what her nickname was.
Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah, stuttering something. But yeah, that was good. What are some of the other characters? I really liked when the boy band came back.
Yes, the boy band. I mean, how could you not like the boy band?
I know. They had some great people in it. I loved the people in it. I think I knew three of the four.
They were comedians.
Yeah, I like Seth Green a lot.
Yeah, Seth Green's funny.
He is hilarious.
We were stuck, and this is just recently, and it was a couple movies we saw, and you're stuck now watching those damn commercials before the movie starts.
Oh, yeah. And that's so why I don't mind getting there late now.
Yeah, but Seth Green does a commercial, and it's so fun, and you're laughing.
Is it the one where the girl goes, I got two tickets.
Yes, one.
That was funny.
We were just forced to watch, I don't know, two or three other commercials that were terrible. And I told him, I leaned over to Matt and I said, Seth Green should do all the commercials that you're forced to watch at the movie theater.
That was a great commercial. Yes, I don't also like commercials. It's like, oh, I had to choose. Yes. What other movies do we have on our list that we were going to talk about?
Well, we were going to talk, was Buckaroo Banzai on there?
Mm-hmm, but you haven't watched that in a while.
That's right. That's right.
But I do love that movie.
I haven't seen it probably in 20 years.
Yeah.
It's been a while. Now, back in the day, I watched it so much, so I could still talk about it, but I haven't seen it recently.
Yeah, I love that movie. And I haven't seen it super recently, but I used to have a t-shirt, a Buckaroo Banzai t-shirt. So I did like it.
Well, also your emails always reference Buckaroo Banzai.
They do. And I can't even talk now. All of a sudden my brain went in 15 different directions. There were two things I was thinking of getting a tattoo of, and one was the Buckaroo Banzai symbol.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a guy I knew had a big tattoo, and what he did before he got his tattoo, and I think this is common, is he put it up on his wall. On his bedroom wall, the picture of the tattoo, and left it there for a month to see if he still liked it before he went and got his tattoo to make sure he didn't get tired of it.
Yeah. Although 20 years from now, he might be tired of it. But that's a whole. Oh, you know what I saw? Just a little tangent here. And I don't know if they're out yet or if it's a prototype, but these electronic tattoos they put under the skin so the tattoo can change.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought that was cool. I think you can even program it to be different things.
Uh-huh.
Now, see, that is kind of cool.
That is cool.
Then when you get tired of it, you just take the little device out.
Oh, yes. Right.
And if you want to change your tattoo, you can.
Yeah, I like tattoos. I've never done it, though. I've never had the...
Yeah.
The balls to do it.
I guess... I just thought, what if I get tired of it? What if I get tired of it? What if I get tired of it? And if I did something, it'd have to be really small.
Right. I think it'd have to be something also with incredible symbolic importance to you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. My friend, Scarlett, the one that passed away, when she was doing her chemotherapy, they had, I don't know what it is, but like one of the machines she was under she had to be in a certain position. And so they'd mark it with little dots, but they were tattooed.
Wow.
So they always knew what position to put her in, something like that. Anyway, she said, when I finish this, what I want to do is get like two tattoos over those that symbolize my journey through this process. So I thought that was a cool idea. So I agree, it should be like very symbolic.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
The thing about it though is through your life, your symbolism that has meaning to you changes.
It's true.
That's the only thing. It's true. It doesn't always change. Like my friend Shelley, she's still, the moon has significance to her, and it always has. And this is from when she was 19 to now she's 42, and it's still.
Right.
And then she actually did get a tattoo of the moon on her.
Okay, that's actually cool, because she knew she wasn't going to get tired of it.
Right, right. And she hasn't. She still likes her tattoo. The moon still has, symbolic significance to her. So.
Yeah.
But I'd have to think about it.
I know. And it would have to, again, I wouldn't want to get something big. I don't have, Steve hates tattoos. And I think it's because he got like 3 tattoos when he was maybe 19, 20. And now he hates all of them.
Aw.
Yeah. And so he really doesn't like tattoos. And he feels sad when he sees people with tattoos that, you know, like they ruin their body, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I think the people that are expressive with tattoos are also, so there's 2 ways you can do it. You can do the symbolism that when you look at it, it reminds you of something that's important in your life, whether, oh, I got to remember to be loving. I've got to remember to be disciplined, whatever it is.
Right.
I love the people that have tattoos all over. I think they're awesome.
Well, I have mixed feelings about that. Like when they start putting them on their face and stuff.
Oh, then see, I like that. But I'm sorry, go ahead. But then what?
I don't know. I just, it gets too much. Like I lose track of the significance of what they're showing.
I think to me it's expressive, and I love it. Like when you had your dreadlocks and then you shaved your head, and we were just talking about, I took Lily to the con, and half of the outfits there were anime characters and they were interesting and fun and I enjoyed them.
Uh-huh.
The other half were people being creative, expressive, and awesome.
Uh-huh.
Making these wonderful outfits. And
uh-huh.
they were just cool, and they had they did crazy things with their hair, and they added color all over the place, and they just, you know, they'd have a bustier mixed with some crazy ass fluffy bottom that you didn't even know what the hell it was made out of. And that's what I think about people with tattoos. It's the same with those people at the con. I enjoyed watching the characters, but I really, really liked it when people made their own outfits.
Yeah.
I love it when people are, and I tell you what it is. I'll tell you exactly what it is.
Okay, wait. Hold that thought and let's take a short break.
Okay. All right, we're back.
Okay, go ahead. Now, what were you saying about tattoos?
Well, and also people that dress like that and stuff. And my mom and I were just talking about this because we were talking about there was some stuff that I wouldn't wear because I'm 42 now. And my mom was the same way. And she said, I just don't – there's this woman at her Walmart. And she said, this woman's not beautiful by any means. And she's older like my mom and I are.
Mm-hmm.
And yet she wears funky, colorful – crazy stuff that you like, you know, oh, that's what we were talking about, the hair ties and stuff. I said, yeah, they're really cute hair ties, but I wouldn't wear them because, you know, I'm 42 and that's for little kids. And this woman wears the fun hair ties and she wears uh-huh. the big, huge, fun earrings. And my mom and I both really admire people that do that. And I said, yeah, there's some older women that can pull that off because of their personality.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with the tattoos, and it's the same with all those fun clothes at the con. I love it when people can, like I say, I don't mind being outside of the mainstream. I don't mind my taste that I, or just, you know, just,
right.
I don't have to, nobody has to, I don't have to express these tastes out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't get looked at. I just blend in like a
You're
wallflower.
You're a chameleon.
Yes. But then the people who really express themselves, I think, you know, to have the balls to actually stand out and express themselves, I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with tattoos, and I like some. I get confused when people have so many tattoos that they're covering their whole body. To me, it's like, I actually like graffiti. I think
uh-huh.
it could be very, now I don't appreciate that, you know, they go and put it on other people's stuff, but you know, there's some places they set up walls where people can do graffiti, and I think it's very pretty and artistic. But then when you have like layers and layers of people just spraying over other people's stuff and doing their
right.
own, it gets confusing to me, and I can't really appreciate the individual graffitis because they're, you know,
right,
it's no longer a whole piece. It's like all these different people's ideas like competing for each other, and I feel that way when I look at somebody that has like their whole body is a tattoo, and unless it's a coherent tattoo, like they started with an idea and they want to do their whole body that way,
right,
I get confused when they have like so many tattoos that I can't appreciate any particular one.
So we're looking at it differently. You're looking at, you want to see the art that's on
yeah
the
yeah
person. And I'm seeing it as a person that is expressing their individuality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So as a tattoo, you know, I think everybody should express themselves the way they want. But it's hard for me to appreciate that from the outside when it's
Right.
so much that I kind of lose my sense of orientation when I'm, you know, looking at that. Again, it's a lot like abstract art to me. I just don't get it. It doesn't. Doesn't mean I think people shouldn't do abstract art. It just doesn't resonate in me at all.
Right. There's the occasional piece where I'm like, wow, that's amazing. But it is
Right.
the occasional piece.
Right, exactly. After I just recently listened to that one podcast, I'm even of the mind, you know, that if people want to do movies like Eraserhead, they should. I just won't be watching them.
Right. Well, we were talking about that because we were talking about Mike Dooley, who I adore.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the guy that does the Notes to the Universe. And
uh-huh.
but then he piped, you know, he's all through The Secret, which you and I make fun of.
Yes.
And although I don't have a problem with the idea of The Secret, it's just the whole way
marketing.
Think you're holding your luxury car and you're going to your mansion and you're, you know, it's all very selfish and self-centered and materialistic.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Mike Dooley's right in there with them saying, yeah, just imagine you're holding the wheel of your car.
Right.
And he's a hero of mine. And he shows up in The Secret. I'm like, no.
Why? Con.
That's really funny. But they, but we were talking about if we took away that part of his personality, then the awesome Notes to the Universe that he sends out and all his other greatness that I just adore, it might not be there. You can't strip out one part of someone's personality and expect the rest of it not to change.
Exactly.
And this was referring back to something.
We strayed too far off the path. I can't find the way back.
We're the breadcrumbs.
Damn forest animals.
I was talking about stripping some part of a personality out, and if you did that, you changed the person.
Saying about, like, it's okay to make things and do things, I just may not appreciate them. And then you said, you were talking about Mike Dooley, because he's a hero of yours, but yet there's something that he's part of that you don't appreciate at all.
Right, right. I just can't remember what we're talking about. Modern art. I don't know. It's gone. Modern art. I don't remember. But yeah, you can't strip out one thing out of someone's personality and expect not the rest of it not to change. The rest of it that you love.
Right.
Not to change.
And, you know, there's people that I really like that were talking about The Secret. And someone gave me a copy because apparently they were easy to get and. Okay, I'm not going down that line, but they gave me this and like, you got to watch it. And, you know, I'm interested in hearing all these different perspectives. But then I put it on and from the beginning, I was just metaphorically, my jaw was on the ground as I watched it. I was just like, what? I hurt now.
See, I haven't seen the show. I have the book.
And, but we watched a little bit of it on the online. I think I showed
that's
you.
That's right. That's right. Yes, I saw the intro. That looks like a great movie.
It does look like a great story of fiction.
Yes.
Like an Indiana Jones type story.
Yes.
And but what I think what really got me in the beginning was they had that intro and I thought this was going to be some kind of movie type thing, right?
Uh-huh.
But then when they got into the whole ideas and stuff, I realized that beginning, that quote, I'm doing air quotes, that historical account, they were trying to push it off as a real historical account.
Right.
She wasn't saying, okay, now I was just joking. This is what she was like, this is the story of the history, you know? I'm like, no, she didn't just do that.
Yeah, yeah.
So it really, I was so sad. And then I thought, but these people I love like this. So I just had to come to terms with, there are things that I like that other people don't get either.
Right. And for me, as far as The Secret goes, I think there's ideas in there that are interesting and worth mm-hmm. thinking about. The problem is it's, and we've talked about this, like I like Strawberry Shortcake because the message is so, in that one particular Strawberry Shortcake, I just love the message.
Right.
that it's so easy to hurt people after you get angry. In fact, I've got a Warcraft story about that. But anyways. And but people have such a hard time with the packaging of strawberry shortcake, they can't get to the message.
Right.
And this, I think it might be the same with The Secret, is that there's some interesting ideas in there that are worth thinking about and maybe putting together, you know, because with all ideas, you kind of link them up with other things you've read and other things you've seen. And you,
right.
But it's wrapped up in such a materialistic, self-centered and I guess in the case of the movie, silly.
Historically questionable.
You and I are having trouble with the package. We're like, okay, look at the concept, but look at the package. Come on, pay attention to the concept. No, have you seen the package?
Yeah, I know. And I guess another thing I had trouble with was that and again, I agree with you. I totally agree with you that, you know, it's the packaging. Is all the ideas that she was presenting that are supposed to be the foundation of the secret, like what's been kept secret, all these things, are in every religious text you ever read. It's in philosophical texts.
Yes.
It's in quotations you read, but it's a secret that's been hidden by industrial men for years.
Yes.
Yeah, so I just really, I was having a problem. But you're right. It for me, it was the packaging and well, a lot of stuff. But, you know, if somebody takes this and makes use of the messages because they like the packaging, then maybe it's good. I had a hard time with thinking the people that I love like that packaging. But, you know, that's okay because we're all different.
Right, right.
And I came to terms with it.
And also, I think that that's why messages are told in so many different ways.
Yes.
So my friend really likes Skinny Bitch. I don't know if you've ever read it.
I've heard of it. I don't think I've read it.
And it's a nutritional book, and it's got a lot of excellent information in it.
Mm-hmm.
So my friend gives it to me because we're both learning about nutrition. She said, this is so good, and you like the vegan lifestyle anyway, and these girls are vegans. And so I'm reading it, and it's like I'm getting yelled at through the whole book. You stupid bitch, why are you eating like that? You crazy person, you know, just put that down, you whore, you know. And and my friend that likes this book, that way of speaking works really well with her. A more militant approach works really well for her. Whereas I'm way too squishy. I just cry. I'm like, why are you yelling at me?
You're talking to the book. Fine, I'll do it. Just stop yelling.
Yeah, so, it's once again talking about a message over and over again. All of the information in Skinny Bitch is in a bunch of other nutritional books.
Right.
But it depends on, it's the tone of the book. And whereas with my one friend, it worked really well with her because that, like I said, that sort of militant, do this, you know, you have to do this, you have to do this, stand in line, works really well for her.
Right.
Whereas me, I need the soft, you know, fluffy bunny ones. We're like, you're awesome. We love you. Now go and do this. You're doing great. Good job.
Yeah. And I guess for me, I like the humorous, but also, don't try to pull the wool over my eyes with history and all that, because I can look things up. And if you're bluffing me there, I'm not going to believe you over here, you know. So I need that kind of packaging. Just be straightforward with me and a little humorous and I'm good.
Right, right.
So.
Well, that's why I think the message, all these, you know, there's all these different books and they appeal to the different people, but it's the same thing said in a different way.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I had to come. Yeah, you know, there's a lessons to be learned, because by coming to terms with, hey, there's people that I care about that like packaging that I can't stand, it kind of opened my mind to the idea that there's other packaging that is, you know, it's okay.
Right, right.
And I can still love these people and they can still love me even if we don't like each other's packaging stuff.
Right, right.
So.
Yeah, Matt still doesn't want strawberry shortcake.
But did he like The Secret?
No. No, and I have, because I'm pretty new agey. I'm all pretty froofy, and Matt's mother is too. It's one of our bonding points between me and my mother-in-law, and she didn't like the secret either. So even among the new age community, there's quite a few people that are like, "Whoa, okay."
And the people at my new seminary didn't like the secret. But well, I don't know if all of them, but we had there was a discussion and they were pretty disgusted with the presentation of these ideas that they hold dear and
Right.
revere being packaged that way.
It is pretty slimy.
The two people, which I think is very interesting, the two people who really liked it, one of them isn't necessarily New Age, he's just very open-minded, but they're both entrepreneurs.
Oh, that's interesting. Because I have one girlfriend that likes it. She's constantly referencing it. So, but she's not an entrepreneur. But whenever she tries to change something in her life, she uses the tactics of the secret, the principles. So she's like, okay, I'm thinking about it. I've got it posted on my what does she call it? Her visualization board. And so.
I just wish I had come up with the idea of the secret.
Oh, you couldn't package it that way. I just.
It's a, I don't want to slam it anymore. I just, it was hard for me. There was like a year that I was having trouble with the whole people like this and people I love like this.
Yeah. Oh, it's got a nice message in it, so,
Yeah, it does have a nice message. It's just, yeah.
yes.
So anyways, let's move on from the secret.
Okay.
Because obviously we would be like the critics looking at Speed Racer.
I was just thinking about that because I used the word slimy, and I was just saying those critics, they always use such mean words, and slimy is not a very nice word.
So even though it still pushes the little buttons, I gotta let it go because it's not evil. And some people like it.
Right. And it helps in people's lives too. And how can that be bad?
I mean, if you can be positive, if something helps you be positive about your life and move forward, then yeah.
Right. There's a
Excuse me.
That's
I
okay.
should push my microphone up out of the
No.
way.
I'd like your money or your life. Talk about packaging. And it's a personal financial book. And if you look at people's top 10 financial books, your money, your life is almost always on there. It's not always on there, but a lot of the time it's on there. It's a very good personal financial book. But the guy is very hippy dippy, and it works with me really well. It speaks to me. Get yourself financially wealthy so you can go off and save the whales. You can get out of that 9-to-5 job and go join the Peace Corps. And that's all through the book.
That's very cool.
Yes, you could do Habitat for Humanity. He's always saying, and he's always, pushing that. And get out of your 9-to-5 rat race and go do something meaningful. But what's meaningful is different for everybody. And it something could be meaningful. They could get out of the rat race, and it could just be being with their family or helping. You know what I mean? But for him, it's always going off. But if you read the reviews of Your Money or Your Life, what's interesting is people say, a lot of people get upset about all the hippie stuff, and other people say, well, just look past that. It's got some really good information. And there's another book. I can't. It's another personal financial book. And that one's Christian based, and there's a bunch of Christian messages in it, but it's got very good personal finance information. And people say the same thing. Just look, there's still good information in here. You don't have to get hung up on the Christian message. So.
So yeah, you're right that just all about finding what you like and getting the message through that packaging. So, and it is nice that people that are very Christian, if they want to hear it, they can go hear it in a context they're comfortable with. And I would guess that, people that think in more material terms, which I don't, I mean, there are things I want, don't get me wrong, but like my ideal isn't, when I see how my life is going to be in the future, it doesn't revolve around the stuff I'm going to get. And so that kind of packaging doesn't resonate within me. But for those people that it does, if they get the same positive messages, then I guess it's good. So,
Right.
I actually read Suze Orm's book.
Susie, yeah,
Susie
Orman.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's Susie or Suze. I think it might be Suze. Suze Orman. I think you're right.
Yeah, I liked her.
Yeah,
and
Matt doesn't like her.
She had some interesting stories in her book, and I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, I don't really watch her, so I don't. But her book was pretty interesting.
I like her books a lot, and another one that shows up on a lot of people's lists is Young, Fabulous, and Broke, I think is a popular one. But I like her books a lot. Matt doesn't like her, not because of her financial advice, but because he thinks that she hates men.
Oh, okay. Well, see, there you go. Another packaging.
Yes. Because we were watching her show for a little while, and he said, well, she's always telling them to leave their husbands and just, you know, to hell with men, and, you know, the poor men were just...
Yes. Yeah. that's so funny.
He could get past that to get to the financial message.
And I can relate. I can totally relate. Actually, I thought Warren Buffett, I didn't know much about him, but his life was very interesting. And the way he was able to make money is being not very materialistic, which I thought was very interesting because he still lives in the, well, I don't know in the last couple of years, but when I was reading about his life, he still lives in the original house he bought in Nebraska for like $35,000, this plain house.
Wow.
And he still lives in it, and that's why he has those kind of principles, and that's why he can make money. He made money over the years. One of the reasons,
right,
is because every time he got more money, he didn't upgrade to a newer house, and you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And you have mentioned we were just talking about this. I read The Millionaire Next Door, and you said I think Steve read it.
Yeah,
and they do mention that in The Millionaire Next Door. It's these two researchers that worked first in academia and then in they worked for marketing companies that needed to know the millionaire demographic and understand
right.
it. And so they did all this research over, I don't know, it was like a decade or two. And this mm-hmm. this book is the presentation of their research.
Right.
Saying millionaires are not who you think they are. There's a difference between high consumption people and people who have what do they call it? You know, they have wealth.
Yes.
He said, just because you see someone in a car in a nice neighborhood, that just means they have a high consumption lifestyle.
Yes. Yeah. And I thought that was very interesting. And I think that Warren Buffett was kind of the epitome of that mm-hmm. other group, the wealth group, as opposed to the high consumption group.
Right. Right.
So, and I just thought it was interesting that, you know, this person who's even very wealthy now has not upgraded from his original home in Nebraska.
Right.
If I got a lot of money, I think that I would have to at least leave Nebraska. But that would be the only thing. Sorry to all you people in Nebraska.
I forgot to tell you we have a third listener now.
Really?
Yeah, we have to do a shout out to Sarah Q.
Sarah Q, woo!
Yeah. My niece. So now we have two husbands and a niece.
Yay.
We're expanding.
Thank God for family. Okay. So anyways, movies.
Well, the other movie we have Army of Darkness, which I have not seen. And I think it'd be fun to watch all three. Although I have to admit, I'm a little bit worried because I tried to watch Zombieland and that didn't work at all. I don't know if Army of Darkness, I'm going to be doing the same thing, calling you go, that's not going to happen. I don't care if it's
still. I think you'll like Army of Darkness. It's very campy.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even goofy. It's campy.
Maybe I should watch it with Carla then. Carla likes camp.
Yeah, the first one, don't watch it. You're not going to like it at all. I like it, but you're not going to like it. The second one is kind of half scary, half campy. But the third one, and you don't need to see these, the one, two, to see three.
You blinked out for a moment. Okay, you have to say it again. The last I heard was about the third one.
Yeah, so you don't need to see the first two to see the third one. You'll totally get the storyline. It's very simple. And the camp, the level of camp is very similar to the old Batman movie from the 60s. I mean, it's that campy.
That is very, very
Seriously.
camp.
It's so over the top campy. And it was on purpose. I mean, it wasn't by accident.
Right.
So it was good. It was, and Bruce Campbell does himself even more over the top in this particular movie than in most of the things he does. So, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so yeah, I haven't seen that one, and Buckaroo Banzai I haven't seen in a very long time. In fact, I completely forgot that. Oh, what is his name? The tall, handsome guy.
Jeff Goldblum.
I forgot Jeff Goldblum was even in it. And Bedazzled. That's
I
interesting. Okay,
love
so
Dazzle.
I find that interesting. You put that on there, so that's one of your favorite movies then.
Yeah, I love that movie.
You reference it a lot.
Yeah. I think it is one of my it's a lot in the category of Joe versus the Volcano. It's a very transformation process. Like there, you know, a lot of the stories that we've been talking about, movies, the character goes on a journey to learn.
Right.
But in these, it's very transformative. Like it's almost like the character doesn't have control over the lessons they're learning, and the lessons are very right there, you know. And I like at the end of Bedazzled, they play a song. I forget who it's by, but the main line is, if you want to be somebody else, if you're tired of fighting battles with yourself, if you want to be somebody else, change your mind. And I love
That's
that.
that is really nice. That was at the end of Bedazzled.
Yeah, that's the song they play when the credits are rolling. And while the credits are rolling, the guy and the girl that he hooked up with at the end, they're walking through the park, everybody else but them and a few other people are they're moving like really, 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 really fast. So they sped up them, but these people are all walking like normally. So it's like they're enjoying life and taking, you know, like finally
Right.
got it.
That is why I love talking to people who love a movie. Because I didn't see that at all. I didn't catch that. And that's really nice. That's that's really that's yeah. And if you just watch a movie, you go, oh, it's okay. Because I liked Dazzled, but I didn't like it as much as you. But I totally didn't catch those last two
Yes.
things.
And at the end, I don't know, I guess she was Satan. I don't know who the guy was. If he was God or just an angel or whatever. But at the end, when the guy goes walking past with the girl, they're playing chess. So, and I like that too, because her message to him was, you know, pretty much, there's no real heaven or hell. It's what you make of it.
Right.
It's all here. So.
See, that's awesome. No wonder you like Bedazzled so much.
I do, and it's silly too. Hey, I speak Spanish. Where is the library? Yeah, that's a great show. And then when he got turned into Abraham Lincoln. You know, he wanted to change the world. He wanted to be president of the United States, somebody important. So she made him Abraham Lincoln
Yeah.
the night he got killed. And they're like, oh, we got this new play for you, President. He goes, no, I've already seen it. She said, no, it's new. He goes, I think I know how it ends.
I was thinking? Because it's always fun to listen to people talk about something they're passionate about. Like you tell them, talking about Bedazzled and mentioning things that I didn't even see that are really nice and, make you think. And, we should get somebody on that really likes The Secret, that's passionate about The Secret, and maybe they can tell us what we're missing. What's in there that we are not seeing because we're so hung up on the packaging?
Yeah, that's a good idea. I still don't think I could ever watch it, but I could appreciate it more
Yeah, that's
through
exactly
their eyes. Yeah.
that's how Matt is about strawberry shortcake.
Yeah. Yes, you can appreciate it at least a little bit now that you may never watch it.
That's it. He's that is a good message. I still can't watch it. I can see why you like it.
Oh. Well, I won't tell that story here, but you should get him a strawberry shortcake t-shirt.
That he would never wear, yeah.
Happy birthday.
It would be a good joke present,
It
though.
would be a great joke present.
So let me tell you, because the story, the message in the strawberry shortcake that I like so much is, when you are when someone hurts your feelings, and then you want to hurt them back, and then you're mean to them, it's really easy to go from being hurt to being cruel.
Right.
Anyway, so I was going to tell you my Warcraft story about
Oh,
that.
tell me. Oh, but before you do, I just want to say, did you cut your hair?
Oh, I did. Yep.
I couldn't tell at first. I thought it was like ponytailed behind, just really
No.
loosely. It looks good.
No, it's all gone.
I like it. Did you donate your hair?
I still have it, but yeah, I've got a ponytail waiting to be sent
Donate.
off. Yeah, so.
Very cool.
Yeah,
I like your new haircut.
it's nice to have it gone. I'll be
It's a
honest with you.
good summer cut.
And yeah, it's just nice to have it gone. I didn't
Yeah.
realize how happy I'd be to have the hair gone.
I actually felt that way about my dreads. As much as I enjoyed having them, I was the same way. I'm like, ah, it's so easy now.
Okay, so my Warcraft story.
Okay.
So I was on Lily's little character, and she wanted this. She's a hunter, and she wanted this animal tamed. So I'm sitting there taming this little digital animal with my little digital hunter, and this other character, this other toon, comes across and kills the animal I'm taming. And I got really angry, and I just went off on this other person. And I called him. I mean, I was mean. I was calling you fuck, you ass. What the hell, man? And I was just a mean. And anyways, I just kept cussing at him. And I mean, for a while. And anyways, and then I get off. And my two nephews play this game. My 10-year-old, no, my 9-year-old. My 9-year-old and my 14-year-old nephew play this game. And I get off. I'm like, oh my God, I bet that was a kid. I just cussed out a kid. I know. I felt terrible. I was like, "Oh my! What was? I'm a 42-year-old woman sitting here cussing a kid out. What the hell am I?" And that's when I realized, in the end, I was a much bigger ass than he was.
Yeah.
And so I got back online, and I sent him a tell and said, "Look, I am so very, very, very sorry. I am so sorry." And he was cool about it. He said, "Look, I shouldn't have killed that animal you were taming." I said, "Whatever happened, cussing out another player is not a good idea, and I'm so really, really,
Yeah.
really, really sorry." Yeah, I wasn't applying strawberry shortcake. That's all I'm saying. I didn't learn my lesson there when I was.
Some lessons you have to experience to get the real message.
You can't just watch a cartoon and take them on board.
How much of the lessons in life did you get from your parents telling you not to do something? How much was it you did it and you're like, oh, that's what they meant. I got it now.
It's kind of like the way they tell you to write your papers. You have to write in the first paragraph, you write your topic and what you're going to say. Then you spend your paper talking about what you're going to say, and then you wrap it up in your last, say it again. So you say it three times.
Right.
Maybe that's what it is. Your parents say, wear a coat when it's cold. Then you
Right.
go out and you catch your cold. I mean, yeah, you go outside and you don't wear a coat, so you get sick. That's the body. And
Yes.
then you come home and you go, wow, mom, I caught a cold. And there you're wrapping up your paper.
Yeah. Well, this person I know, their son, those little tiny firecrackers that pop. They have the little thing. So the son was there and he's like, "Dad, look what I have. Can I have a lighter?"
That's very
The
funny.
dad's like, it's gonna pop in your hand." And he's like, you could see, he's like, "Yeah, whatever." And then he takes it outside, and shortly after this kid comes back, he's like, "Ah, my hand, it popped in my
That's great of the father to let him go ahead and learn. What do they call it?
Yeah.
Natural consequences.
And he's like, "Yep, I knew that was gonna happen."
Yeah, we try to do that with our kids. As long as they are safe, like you can't do the whole thing like, letting them get hit by a car when they go out on the street. But if they're safe and it's just going to be a minor thing, we let them learn that
Yeah,
way.
Steve had that philosophy, and he let them fall in the pool when they were really, really little. Of course, he was always watching them, but
Right.
they only ever did any of that. They fell down the stairs once. That's it, just one time.
Yeah, that's
And
really
then,
like
as the older kids would come over to their house and play, all the older kids were falling down the stairs. Those boys weren't. They knew better.
because they really do learn better. Everybody does when you do it, when you experience it.
Yep.
As opposed to, I mean, we'll still tell them, but if we see it coming, like the firecracker, if we see it coming, we're like, just let them do it.
Yeah.
And then they come back and like, oh, wow!
Yeah.
And we don't say, I told you so or anything. I mean, they've
Right.
already learned their lesson. You're like, oh, well, baby.
Too bad.
You want me to get a Band-Aid for that?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's why parents have a hard time later in life, because some of the lessons are a lot more painful.
They are. There's some things, and there's some lessons that they have to go through, and you can't stop them.
Yeah.
They're like when they learn how to drive, and they're gonna have a car wreck, and hopefully it'll just be a couple of fender benders.
Yep.
There's no way you're gonna stop that. There's no way that.
Nope. It's just gonna happen.
Yeah, you just hope that it's not terrible.
Yeah.
And there's the same. There's a lot of those that you just. I think that's why kids are best gone off to college. Because as a parent, it would just be horrible.
To
It'd just
watch
be,
every day.
oh, it'd be painful, and you'd be worried, and you'd be angry, and yeah, just
Yeah.
send them off to college. They come home at Christmas,
They don't
and
tell you their
they
stuff
don't.
until they're like 25 or 30.
Yeah, Mom, you won't believe what we did when we were 19.
And they lived through it and they're okay, so you can listen to the stories. Yeah. yeah. Well, I guess that we should, maybe should wrap it up.
Sure, we didn't talk about movies, but about half of it. The other was just,
Normal.
whatever.
Normal. Oh, there's another movie I like, but it's not Goofy. It's Under the Tuscan Sun. I really like that
I
one.
love that movie.
Yeah, that was
Yes.
a transformative movie where a series of events forced the character to grow up,
Right.
as opposed to her being brave. I mean, she was brave once, but after that, she really had no choice.
Right.
And so, kind of her destiny, her the chosen destiny carried her along to a better place.
The movies that I really like are the ones that, I mean, and they probably do this, and I bet if you, like, maybe Bedazzled did this for you, but the movies that also change you a little bit after you've seen them. And I
Yeah.
don't know if that happened with you with Bedazzled. After you watched it, you slowed down,
Yeah.
and really took the message of if you want to change, you want to be a different person, just change your mind, change your
Yeah.
perspective.
It did. I mean, it wasn't that I applied it all the time, but every once in a while, I'd be like, whoa, I just need to
Right.
chill out and slow down.
Right. Yeah, those are the ones I really like. The ones that really, I don't know, speak to you, and you go through a little transformation in that hour and a half.
Yeah.
And those are the best movies.
Yay.
Okay, so we're wrapping up. A little shout out to our three relatives.
Hey, thanks for listening. Woohoo.
Our audience of three.
We're growing. We're viral.
That's funny. All righty. Well, until next time then.
Yeah, until next time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks again for joining us on Benign Chaos as we take a rambling journey through the universe. I'm Shaori.
And I'm Angel.
And we bid you adieu,
Sayonara.
arrivederci,
Ciao.
and
Very much.
farewell. Until next time.